Turn to 1 John chapter 4. You'll notice in your bulletin a couple of good announcements, one about Santa's workshop, the other about the Christmas boxes. Good things are happening, and we get to join in with what God is doing. Amen? 1 John chapter 4. It'll take me just a few minutes to get to Larry's verses, but we'll probably get there. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the spirits they have come from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. Now, if we were to stop reading right there, we might begin to question everything and everyone. It might induce in us some insecurity instead of giving us what I think it should give us, which is confidence. Who are the false prophets? We don't use the word prophet in our regular language outside of church. You rarely hear of anybody talking about the prophetic work of anything. You'll hear people talk about the future. You'll hear people talk about mediums and things other than our faith. But just out there in the regular world, you don't generally hear people talking about false prophets. False prophets are those people who lead others astray, correct? False prophets are those who talk about things incorrectly, yes? We don't want to be subjected to false prophets or false prophecy, and the last thing any of us want to do is end up caught or deceived in something like that. So this can become a really big deal. Let's just read the next verse. This, verse 2, this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world, and indeed is already here. Antichrist, because of our understanding of a personage named Antichrist, especially throughout the book of Revelation, we have these end time focus on Antichrist as a singular individual. But Antichrist, the Greek here is Antichristo, right? Antichristo. Who is Christo? Jesus is Christo. So anyone who opposes him or denies him is Antichristo, right? Do you see that? This isn't necessarily focusing on a singular individual in end times kinds of things what's going to lead to Armageddon and all of that. In fact, anyone that comes into our lives who leads us away from our faith in Jesus Christ is doing desperate things. Correct? Yeah, if someone weakens your faith, that's a horrible thing. Because without faith in Jesus Christ, what do you have faith in? And so you've got it in all these other things, but these other things are wood, hay, and stubble. They're not going to give us what we're after. And when we discover this liberating wonder of Jesus Christ, the fact that He loves you, He said, well, you can't possibly love me. You can love that person, you can love that person, but you can't possibly love me. Wait a minute. Jesus shows up and says, I especially love you. Amen. Amen. Any other hands raised? He especially loves me. That's kind of a posture of praise. But you belong to God, my dear children. Have we been talking about identity at all? Have we been looking in the Bible about what it says to us about who we are? And one of the biggest problems it seems to be in America today is the insecurity of people. Who am I? We got too many people taking too many drugs because they don't understand the simple thing that God loves them. You're a child of God. You've been washed clean. Jesus Christ died for you. We get too many people that refuse to understand what God says about them. Do you think that you were created by God? Or do you think that you just happened? This is an amazing question. Are you just the product of sperm and egg? Or are you the spoken word of God? So if you're a scientist or an engineer, let the wheel spin. And what I can tell you is, and have shared before, that there's all kinds of times that biology happens where there's no life. Because only God speaks pneuma. He gathered the dirt together, and what did He do? Formed it into a body. And then He breathed, what? Life into it. Without the breath of life, we don't have life. I find one of the most mysterious things I ever get to do in ministry is be with someone at the time of their passing. It is remarkable. There 1 minute, not there the next. Breath 1 minute, no breath the next. What caused this? And I'm not trying to raise the scientific curiosity. I'm just saying that it is only God who creates. And here, talking about identity, it says, you belong to God. You have already won a victory over those people, those who deny Christ, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. This is such simple language and yet so profound. Who is greater? God is greater. But the enemy is raging and I'm under great temptation and I've got so many confusing voices and there's so many people trying to tear me in so many different directions. Yes. But God is greater. Well, I'm all confused. What are you confused about? Well, I just can't figure it out. What can't you figure out? What is it about God's love that you don't understand? It may be that you just don't understand why He would love you. Because other people don't. But God isn't other people. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. Who sought you? Jesus sought you. And He bought me with His redeeming blood. Wow. I know it's an old hymn of the church. It's not hip and new and modern. But boy, are the words there. Man. Verse 6. But we belong to God. And those who know God, they listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. Now, this is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. If they're talking about the Lord Jesus, it says they are talking from the Spirit of God. If they're talking about some other kind of God, then they're not talking about from the Spirit of Jesus. True or false? This isn't my... If Kevin reminded me this morning of an event that's either just happened or just about to happen. Is it in San Francisco called the... Sunday Assembly. Have you heard about the Sunday Assembly? Oh, my. So I was listening to Michael Medved. Do you know that name? Michael Medved is a Jewish man who has a radio talk show. He's an excellent talk show person. He is not anti-Christian. He just happens to be Jewish, which is an interesting issue in Michael's life because we know who was trying to woo him, correct? But anyway, he had this guest on the other day, and I caught part of it as I was going somewhere, and the guy was talking about the Sunday Assembly, the largest gathering of atheists, the largest gatherings of atheists around the world. And they are forming mega churches, tens of thousands, if not stadium full of people who want to gather specifically to say, we do not believe in Jesus Christ. We do not even believe in God. They will have no shortage of attendees. Because the Bible tells us broad is the way. How do you know if somebody is not of the Spirit? He'll tell you. He will flat out tell you. Now, all of this first section of 1 John 4 seems kind of, you know, worry about, don't go after false prophets, and he's encouraging us because we belong to God. And then I think he gets to the actual text that he's interested in, starting with verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to what? Let's continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. Remember, in the beginning, love. Oh my goodness. Let's not get hung up on whether or not there are false prophets. Let's continue to love one another. We can know for sure that the false prophet will reveal himself or herself by the way they speak. Yes? And then we can assume the posture of a Christian. I have a testimony. I want to tell you. And then they will ask you, well, how could this happen? And you can say, well, I was blind, but now I see. And then they can interrogate you about how it all happened. And you can say, Jesus loves me, this I know. Because the Bible not only tells me so, but because Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul. Amen? He's just urging and exhorting the early church, which is being torn asunder by all kinds of divisions and all kinds of other voices. He's trying to say, let's love one another. And as we show our love for one another, that love will be seen by a lot of folks, yes? I just wish I had the recording as to how many people drove up and down Fisher Road yesterday and saw the work crews out working at BCA. I just wonder what was going through their minds. We had one guy stop and thought a sale was happening. We had to say, well, no, we're not having a sale right now. We're just fixing the place up. Number 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending him, his one and only son, into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. What a wonderful gospel message. This is the important part of any testimony. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. Good so far? Are you at peace so far? You're not troubled in your soul, are you? You're not feeling denominationally challenged in any way, are you? We haven't violated any former doctrines yet, have we? Let's read on. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If you were making little notes, we just read Spirit, Father, Son. Normally we talk in the terms Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here it's a different order, doesn't matter. You're getting the absolute character of God revealed to you here in about one verse, two verses. God has given us the Spirit, His Spirit, as proof. And we've seen with our own eyes, we testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. And they live in God. Now we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His, what? In His love. God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him. Does your Bible read that way with the word proof? Do we have any other translation of that verse? Say it. Okay. Verse 13.
Yes. How can we be sure that He truly lives in us and that we truly live in Him? We know this by one fact and one fact alone. He has given us His Spirit.
How can we be sure? What is the proof? How can we know? Listen, folks, you and I share in common that we have questions, and we want answers. And yes, we're searching for stuff, but we'll go to a whole bunch of people and seek out many counselors to ask for advice about a lot of things. But here it says that God has given the proof, His Spirit. Proof! You can know. What are the gifts of God's Holy Spirit? Has He given gifts? Has God, by His Holy Spirit, given gifts to us? And in one text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have a list of how many gifts of the Holy Spirit. 9 gifts of the Spirit in that text alone. Do you know about the gifts of the Spirit? And a lot of times this is where you get so much concentration on the singular identifiable gifts of the Spirit that whole denominations get formed. And we call those people in the old days, we would call them Pentecostals. Because at Pentecost, the gifts of the Spirit were distributed to the church, fulfilling the prophecy of Joel that He would pour out upon all flesh His Spirit. Correct? And so Paul is just acknowledging here's at least a list of 9 gifts of the Spirit. And so we read them and we microanalyze them and we now want to control them. And if I've got the gift, it's obviously my gift. Actually, it's a gift of the Spirit. And what is our responsibility with the gifts of the Spirit? To at least receive them, right? Christmas is coming. We're going to exchange gifts to one another. It's no good if I give you a present and you just let it sit on the floor and disregard the gift. No, we want to open the gifts and we want to, you know, use them and delight in them and appreciate the gifts of the Spirit. And so churches then all get all hung up on how to administrate the gifts of the Spirit. Yikes. It's not our job to administrate the gifts of the Spirit. It's our job to receive them and distribute them. Right? Well, he distributes them. I understand what you... But Paul says, I would that you speak in tongues. Why? Is Paul trying to make a charismatic out of you good Baptists? You know, is Paul trying to upset your Nazarene upbringing? No! What is the Word of God saying when it says, I encourage you, I would that you all pray in tongues? Church, tongues is for the edification of the believer. Is there anyone in this room that does not need some edification? We need to be built up. And it says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. So we don't make this a merit badge of something I have and use more than others. Paul wasn't into that. He was encouraging the church to use the gift of tongues because it's uniquely individual. And then for body life order, he said, if there's going to be messages in tongues, there should be interpretation of the tongues. Oh, guess what? That's a gift of the Spirit, right? Oh, you've got some sick people among you. Let's release the gifts of healing. All of this fits together not to create all kinds of questions, but to answer or to give proof. Proof that we have a Spirit. Well, wait a minute. Let's not just advance on those. What about the fruits of the Spirit? Said elsewhere, how many fruit of the Spirit are there? Seven? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, humbleness, and self-control. Nine. It's a good thing to study because you start to find out how many of you have gone to the breakfast table and found out there were no bananas. You like a banana every day and, oh my gosh, we forgot to pick up bananas. What do you do when you don't have any bananas? You get up, you go to the store, and you get some bananas. Is this complicated? What? If you don't have money, I'll bet if you went up to Jim's and said, I gotta have a banana, he'd give you one. Who do we go to get the fruit? We go to the Spirit. Does he have a shortage?
No.
There's no shortage of the fruit of God's Spirit. To me, we have made this stuff too religious. We've killed it with administration and law and rule and form and structure. What God wants to do is pour out His gifts upon us, distribute His fruit all over your vine so that you have a posture with other people. You got more than you need and plenty to share. And then you're loving one another is a lot easier. Hello? This to me is just, it's awesome. It's proof. God is love. All who live in love live in God because God is love. Look at verse 17. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. How many of you have trouble? Now, you cannot give testimony this morning if you don't want to. But how many have trouble loving at least one other person? There is someone in your life you would say you have difficulty loving. You have difficulty being in the same room with them. You wish they were removed from the planet. This is common to us. And there's only one way that you're ever going to be able to love them or anyone else. Only if you have love. You can't give what you don't have. And here we know that God is love. So if I'm having trouble with person A or B, or the whole alphabet, I can go to the source of love. And I say, Lord, help me to love husbands. Love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. Well, I can't do that. Not on your own. You have to go to God. God is love. Correct? So where do we get this love? Do we work it up? Does she put on a certain perfume? Huh? That works for some things, but it doesn't work for love. Verse 17 again. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus where? Here. We live like Jesus here. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we were afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He first loved us. Amen? If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person's a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And He has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. John is about identity. Hebrews was about identity. I submit to you Matthew is about identity. I submit to you Genesis is about identity. Pick a Bible chapter or book, and I will submit to you that it's about what it is we believe. I choose Jesus. And I need His help to do all the other things He's asking me to do. He wants me to love when I don't feel like loving. Jesus! Amen? I need some help right now. And He shows up to help us. I pray God's blessing on you, church. I pray that as you face these challenges in everyday life of how to relate with one another, that you can grow in your vertical approach to heaven. And let the God of heaven come again to you and pour out upon you His Spirit and give you gifts that you might demonstrate these gifts to everyone around you. And it doesn't have to be wrapped up in church talk. It doesn't have to pass some kind of council or standard of inquiry. What has to happen is that the God who is love comes into you and helps you love others. There's no other way that we can live on this planet with love if we don't have God who created the planet give us the love. Amen. So, Father, we thank You today. It's not so much we feel Your command to love, but You're offering us love. You are saying to us this morning, I have it for you. Come and receive from Me all that you need. And then take what I've given you and let it be multiplied, let it be increased, and distribute this love out to others. Help us, Lord Jesus. We do pray in Your name. Amen. Amen.